But in a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
You know what? I just love having being the only journalist in town with my own theme song. It's like I hum it to myself as I go to news conferences. Jeff Carlin, producer for WGN, Roe and Anna. He is Will Lee, a.k.a. Mid-Noir Cowboy on Twitter. Chicago Tribune reporter, columnist, and Game of Thrones fan. And my friend, hey, man.
How you doing, sir?
What do you think of the Sun-Times purchase, Jeff Carlin?
I think it's good that we will have two stronger papers and two continuing circulated papers in the city. I think it's goofy that people are like, oh, we need a liberal voice in this city to counter the
wow.
conservative
What's
voice.
What's the conservative voice? Exactly. You're talking to him. Right. And when Kristen's here, that's it, too.
Right. And then right. So my retort is, well, then tell me who the conservative columnists are on the Tribune paper. And they're like, well, I don't.
They don't know?
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't even know that I'm a conservative.
Right.
Right. Good. Your friends read me then. What do you think, Will?
Well, I agree with Jeff. I am glad that there's two separate papers. I was never a fan of the plan of having them all under one banner. I will be, at the very least, entertained. They won't be short for opinions. So that's how it.
I'm happy that they're going to be okay. I hope they're okay. Jim Kirk is the editor and publisher there, and he's a great guy, a friend of mine for many years. Dan Michalopoulos, Franny Spielman, Mark Brown, Tim Novak, Chris Fusco, the names go on and on of people that I respect in the business, that I read, you know, Rick Morrissey on the sports and all those guys, and I just hope they continue. Just remember, guys, you owe us, $25 million a year for printing that paper, and that's the deal, right? So, because we don't want to get hurt either, right? We have a deal, a contract. When the labor unions buy you, I don't know what it's like the mic. What will it be? I don't know. I have good friends there, and so does Will, and so do you. Yeah. So I hope it succeeds. It is interesting, though, Jeff, that, and Kristen put this out in a tweet, that when conservatives buy something, everyone freaks out. Right? Oh, my God, you hear a lot of buzz in the media. When liberals buy something, it's like, oh, it's not even, no one talks about it. Why is that?
Liberals don't put their thumb quite on the scale like the conservatives do.
Oh, John. Really? Really? Varys, Master of Whispers?
Did you like that? Did
yes,
you like
what I
said
do.
That? It was pretty fun, right?
I think you should bring proof next time. Game of Thrones. Jeff was just about to join in. He took
I thought
the
we were doing
breath.
A round of it.
Yeah,
I'm
I know. Game of Thrones, the premiere was this Sunday. And on Monday, people are running around saying, don't talk about it. Don't spoil it for me. I haven't seen it yet. I thought we'd ask one of the preeminent Game of Thrones experts in the world to come in. Will, tell us what is the rule of Game of Thrones, because last week I wrote a column saying it's on Sunday night. We want to talk about it Monday at work. Either watch it or close your ears or no more don't say anything because you'll spoil it for me. I can't stand these lazy bastards. Get up and watch it or get up early and watch the recording.
Well, the rule is now that we've been waiting for this. We've not only been waiting for this from the year that it happened, we've been waiting for several more months. I personally have been waiting for it from the moment that the very last episode of season 6 ended. So to that, I say You have to, I say, you got to, hey, close your ears.
Right.
Don't ask me not to discuss it, because I'm ready for my mind to be blown.
And we want to have that nerdgasmic discussion the next day, right, Jeff Carlin? On Rokan and with Anna, are there any Game of Thrones fans?
Well, Brian Altimer is. You know Brian, the sonic genius there.
Yes.
He is. He and I geek out over it, and he will and I will send each other photos of ourselves watching it when, like, crazy things happen. When the scene with the mountain and the poor fellow's skull popping.
Pumpkinhead, as
we
call
it. Yeah, Pumpkinhead. Brian and I were both.
I killed her, and then I smashed her head in like this.
We definitely revel in it, but we're the only two, unfortunately.
So Roe's not a Game of Thrones guy, huh?
No, not so much. Not his cup of tea.
And Anna?
No, too violent for her, I guess. Although she likes horror films, but I think she got turned off by the first couple episodes when it was all just like incestuous sex and stuff, and so she couldn't get past any of that.
They're not really related, you know.
Yeah, they're not related. It's called acting.
Right.
And here's a theory for everybody who doesn't like Game of Thrones. And you know what? I really don't want to hear your little pouty mouths, but, you know, don't pout or anything. But let me just tell you something. In the world that we live in, we're constantly told that justice will prevail, that good wins out over bad. That if we just work together, we can accomplish great things, whether it's Occupy Wall Street or tear down capitalism so we're all a bunch of Venezuelans without toilet paper or whatever. But in Game of Thrones, Will Lee, good doesn't always win. Sometimes the bad guys win, just like I think it's more real, even with the dragons and the great breasts, than real life sometimes.
Well, I think the dragons and the breasts are, you know, you come for those things. But what it does is what they really get you, what they really pull you in is just that, you know, this whole old notions of chivalry and that the just will always take care of, you know, the poor and downtrodden.
But
and all
are
of that.
They, or do the just really take, or aren't the peasants just slaughtered willy-nilly, as they say, back and forth between, in the Game of Thrones, the small are always crushed, are they not?
Well, you know, I'm just a Chicago crime reporter. I don't know things about that type of nature.
Yeah, but, sure, you see it all the time.
But it's just the idea of how they do it. They give it a sort of, not a soap opera feel, because it's not soap opera. They give it some sort of plausibility. And they, you know, you can imagine this happening. It makes you take a different look at every sort of medieval story that you grew up with.
Now, Will Lee... let's just admit something to the listeners here of the Chicago Way. Will Lee read all the books before the series. As soon as the series came out, he finished all the books. He didn't want to be surprised. He knew all the, you know, characters that would get killed. I didn't know. Ned Stark getting his head cut off. I was like, oh, my God. Will already knew it.
But I forgot, you know, the thing about that is, John, that you forget so much because you just pour through these books. And when I actually, my cube mate, who you know, also has read all the books.
Bring her up here, too.
You should. And she remembers things that I've totally forgotten.
She'd be good, yeah.
You know, and they have thousands of characters and they're easy to forget.
Yeah, we should bring her. Okay, so here's the big question. It's not going to happen in the first episode. Will Arya Stark, who's my favorite character, and Wonder Woman, the true Wonder Woman, a girl, plucky little girl, tough, you know, knock her down, she gets back up. Like, you'd want to, she's worthy of being Ned Stark's daughter. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. Will she stick the needle in Cersei/Hillary/Ivanka/Liz Warren/Cersei's eye?
Nah.
Will she?
No.
Is she the one who's going to kill her?
No.
Somebody's going to kill her. She can't live.
Well,
or
John.
One
of the theories that's going around that I just read, it's an Esquire, so it must be true. it was that they believe now that Jaime will be the one to kill her.
Yeah.
Why do you think so, Mr. Yeah, Jeff Carlin?
I think Jaime will be because...
He's guilty that he had sex with his sister all those years?
No, he really loves her. He loves her deeper than just a brotherly love, and she doesn't feel the same way, or at least she tamps it down, and her urge to be more powerful overrides it, and so that will scorn him, and he will turn on her.
I think that he will end up in a little cottage by a brook with Brienne of Tarth, who's another awesome individual, yeah. Right?
Right.
Although she seems to be going with, she'll be ending up with the redheaded Viking guy, right?
Best of all worlds. You know, imagine those children, those large children.
Sure. Why is this? Okay, and everybody, I know some of you out there, readers, you're like, ugh, what? Because I love it, okay? This is my mind. This is Will Lee's mind and Jeff Carlin's mind. So why do you love it, Jeff Carlin?
I love it. I love it for the storytelling and the idea that there are these, and it's so intricately done. There's so many different camps and groups of people with interests, and they're interwoven, and they have these little, you know, backstories and tiny little stories. And
Varys getting his, you know,
right,
special purpose right. cut off by the wizard as a boy.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And then you have, then you compare it to other shows that are, you know, that don't compare. I mean, there's a like Orange is the New Black is a show that just came back this summer for another season.
Right.
And a lot of it is told in flashback, and there's, they try to interweave people's stories after the fact.
Is that the one about the that Darcel Rocket tried to get me to watch, that with the mutants that got the tail cut off?
No. I don't know.
It's Orphan Black.
Orphan Black. Oh, yeah.
No, this is the Ladies' Prison.
This is the Ladies' Prison, yeah.
Ladies' Prison?
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, it's, I mean,
come
it's,
on.
It's,
seen stockings and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. But they.
I've not seen that movie.
They just try to make it.
It was with Ida Lupino.
Oh, yeah. Boy. They try to make it very, they try to interweave these backstories. And it's pandering. But in Game of Thrones, it's so subtle that, like, it jumps, and, like, you'll even forget, like, there was no Samuel Tarly last season at all. We didn't catch him at all, did we?
Oh, very briefly.
Well, I mean, there was a little piece of it, but right.
He's in the Great Library of Alexandria. Oh, I'm sorry. it's called.
But that's the thing, is, right. he was the only person we know who's actually killed a White Walker, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, he hasn't been involved, and there are White Walkers are involved, but that's just one little piece of it that you didn't even catch last season.
If you're not, if you want to get into this party, and there are a lot of people who want to jump on a bandwagon, I'm not going to be one to say no. I say more the merrier. Come on in. You don't have to wear tights, and you don't have to, you know, wear a sword or anything. You don't have to be at the Renaissance Fair to watch this. But just go back and start watching the episodes, right?
Right. Absolutely. So you'll get sucked in right away.
I'd say two a night. I try, because I just finished my rewatch, like, before the season begins, I watch all of them again.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we had why, is that weird?
No, that's intense.
Yeah, it is intense, dude, because Game of Thrones is intense.
It is.
But I say two episodes a night is good.
I recommend a palate cleanser after every episode. Something light and goofy, something...
What, like My Fair Lady or something?
No, yeah, like an episode of Friends or The Simpsons or something.
You mean after the two?
Yeah.
No, you have to go to sleep with the two in your mind.
Yeah.
No.
That's how Will would ride.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to watch on Sunday, and I'm going to watch it at least two or three times, you know, to see how I feel about it.
So when I wrote that in the column, I was right.
Well, of course.
Of course, because I know you.
Well, you
know that I wasn't going to go to a watch party because... There could be talkers, and I don't like talkers.
If you should do yourself a favor, you should check out Samantha Swords. She's an actual swordsman, or woman, if you will. She's the one who taught Brianna Tarth all of her technique and move, and she's one of the consultants on the show. And so she comes in, and she did work on the Wonder Woman movie, so she's. Yeah. But she is.
Oh, yeah, that was really authentic.
Well, I mean, authentic for what? It's
the Wonder Woman is Brienne of Tarth.
Well, right.
I mean, and also Arya. They don't have superpowers.
No, but the point is that they're also, they're very skilled in what they do. But Samantha Swords is a real-life woman who's a swordsmith, and she's amazing. You should check
really?
Her out.
Yeah, okay, no, we'll like go the, check her out. Do you know her well?
I have not.
Now he will. You know that he will.
She's on Facebook and Twitter and all that fun stuff.
I will investigate.
Samantha Swords.
So what sites do you go to, Will Lee, to get more Game of Thrones info? What's your Game of Thrones go-to list on social, you know?
Sure.
On the internet.
Well, I think the grail, the Bible of it is The Watcher on the Wall, which is the main watcheronthewall.com, I believe it is. It's where where many of the scenes from the upcoming season were actually first broken last summer when they were filming them. There were actual spies in these various locales around the country, actually taking pictures of the actors from afar with long zoom lenses.
And trying to find out, trying to glean from that if, A, they're alive, B, so they're not killed yet, and therefore what's going on.
Right? Oh, it's fantastic. They confirmed for the entire world last summer that John and Daenerys meet for the first time this season, and that is sending the entire world a buzz.
They're cousins.
Well, she his aunt? Is that what that is,
yeah,
Jeff?
Yeah, yeah.
Technically?
So can they have a child?
Well, the Targaryens,
Beget her with child or whatever you say in Game of Thrones?
There are no rules against that in Westeros.
Right?
That's true.
But he's ice and she's fire.
Get it, huh?
Starting to get it now.
It's all making sense.
In the office at the Tribune, when we're not talking about the Sun-Times, the Tribune moving farther leftward and the Sun-Times moving way farther leftward.
Whatever
with their
you
new
mean.
Purchase. When we're not talking about that, we're talking Game of Thrones. Who are the game at the Tribune identify, besides me and you, who are the big Game of Thrones fans in the newsroom?
Well, it's definitely Mara Eltigori, who is one of the general assignments reporters.
Right.
She's fantastic. She's read all the books. And again, when I forget something, she brings it back up. TV writer Steve Johnson loves every single one of them.
And writes about it often, right?
I just talked to him last night. He said he was as excited about it as I was, which I doubt it.
Nerdgastic?
Yeah.
Nerdgasm. Come on.
Absolutely. Oh, there is. Yeah. On Sunday, that Sunday is only devoted to the show.
I mean, like, where people, you're writing, like, murder stories or whatever, political stories, but everyone's thinking, let me write my story so I could get out and.
I'm saying Sunday, I say get out of my way. I'm having a great meal of something before so I can be in the right frame of mind.
Maybe some mead?
When I see it. Absolutely.
Honey mead?
I want it all. And everyone get out of my way. The world must shut up for 1 hour.
No talkers.
No talkers.
Don't like talkers. Mm-hmm. All right, who else is a big fan?
Who else is there?
Bruce Dahl. I don't know. Mark Jacob, the editor, Metro editor,
That's surprising.
It's really surprising.
Yeah.
Trevor Jensen, my editor, my line editor, he doesn't watch it. So I could stick in all the Game of Thrones references I want, like Mike Madigan, Night King, and so forth.
Sure.
He doesn't know what I'm saying, you know?
Well, that's a great one. Night King, Mike Madigan.
Isn't it? Don't they look the same?
Yeah, well, I don't want
I mean,
to
the eyes.
There's something there with the eyes. I think you should get the graphics folks on that.
We should.
Does the Night King have a butler like Mr. Belvedere?
I don't think so.
Last week, Jeff Carlin put the Mr. Belvedere theme song. We were talking about J.B. Pritzker. And Jeff put the Mr. Belvedere. He comes up with all that. I know the Game of Thrones.
I love the Mr. Belvedere theme song, by the way.
Absolutely.
But also from the 80s. Now, and as John knows, I cover Bond Court on Saturday. So I got the Night Court title card.
Oh, nice.
But I scratched out the Night Court and put a Bond Court, which is,
very
I
nice.
Tell you, it's exactly the same thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Except Judge Peggy Champus, when she goes off, it's just. Worth the price.
Do not cross Peggy.
I'm kind of thinking we could make a few bucks organizing tours of Bond Court. Because people like get a bus.
Misery tour.
Go to Bond Court. See what's going on in your city. Mm-hmm. You're out there in Jefferson Park and you're sitting there having a cold beer and you're not a cop. If you're a cop or a fireman, you already know. But a lot of people don't know.
Right. Well, they had a few folks come through there every once in a while.
If you're in Flossmoor, and you're doing your whole suburban, African American suburban thing with the ponytails and so forth and the BMW, get in our bus and come down.
I did not get that reference.
I'm just thinking of Kim Fox.
Oh yeah,
right?
That's right.
It's Kim, right? Isn't she?
Oh yeah, that's another story. We'll talk about.
I'm not interested in politics today, my friend. I really am not. We needed a break. I did have a couple news, breaking news items to bring to you. Number one, my beans were eaten by rabbits.
Oh, yeah.
And I put out something saying I'm going to go Mr. McGregor on their ass, and or Farmer McGregor, whatever his name is. And the next day, Zeus found the rabbits in my garden behind the Zeus-proof fence. He broke through.
Ooh.
I think he did something to the mom.
Oh, boy.
Because she wasn't around. And now I had four baby rabbits, five, and one within Zeus's mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's got a soft mouth, so he didn't kill it. I think he ate one, because before I knew this happened, when Zeus doesn't eat, like, why isn't Zeus hungry?
He's oh, no, eating. Right.
Yeah, then we kind of get, like, the prickly back of the hair thing, you know, right? And the editor said, well, can you, and I said, I think I see a hawk, or I can hear a hawk. I could hear a hawk.
Sure.
You know what one of my Tribune editors said? Why don't you take a video? Like, you know, hawk kills baby rabbit.
Yeah, that'll make you very popular.
And others said, well, why don't you just, like, kill him and put him in a garbage bag or something? Is that smart for a columnist to kill baby rabbits?
No.
No?
No.
Well, I think I have a solution. That's my first breaking news. Do you guys have any?
I don't. I'm still horrified from the last piece of baking news. Right?
What, the baby rabbit thing?
I don't know. It's kind of a fox hunt just kind of popped into my head. And, you know, it's like, did you blot Zeus's mouth after?
What a stupid rabbit mother. She was trying to lay her rabbit eggs or whatever they are in my yard in the grass. In the grass. And every time Zeus would chase her out, she was digging little holes like where he goes, like 5 feet from where he does his leg lifting thing. Like, what, can she smell or anything? Stupid rabbit.
I have a similar story. My parents have two dogs and a big black lab, and she's sweet and dumb, and, you know, she's just a lovely creature, but loves to chase things. But right off their back stoop, literally, you know, 6 feet from the stoop, there's this heavy overgrowth and a Japanese maple, and for whatever reason, every year a rabbit comes and has a nest in there, and there's always rabbits, and the dogs usually get all excited and sniff them out, but they don't usually do anything. Well, my mom went out there one day, and she saw that the baby rabbits were, like, scattered and, like, around, and they were really tiny.
And there was a little baby rabbit foot sticking out of the dog's mouth.
No. She had, like, scooped them up and had, like, tried to put them back. But it turns out that there's a couple of new neighbors in my mom's neighborhood, and they have a big black outdoor cat.
Oh, God.
And
I hate them.
Yeah, this is an evil cat. And this cat was lurking, and this cat definitely took off with a couple of the babies.
Oh my God.
It's not just Zeus's of the world.
Well, Zeus punctured one, I have to say. Not the one he was holding, another one. But I think he got the mother. So now the question is, what do I do?
Bad at them.
I mean, do I let them die? Do I take a video, like, and make go, you know, make let Cassandra, the video department, be so happy, like that stupid rabbit video I put on Facebook, or do I nurse them with a little like eyedropper full of milk
for stew later?
No. You can't eat your friends.
Well, you shouldn't. Can you? You shouldn't eat your friends.
And everybody's weighing in on Facebook going, kill it, or they're good with pearl onions. Like, it's so easy for them to say. But if I do that as a columnist, I'm going to be,
When was the last time you checked on them? If they don't have a mother, I'm assuming they probably already have perished. Unless they're in a box in your kitchen.
So I think there might be a update on this subject after this podcast comes out, so we'll have to.
All right. To be continued.
To be continued. Okay, sports fans. If you're a sports fan in Chicago, you know that the Bulls suck. The Bears are terrible. The White Sox, forget it. The Cubs are trying, but, you know, they're down there, too. They're not doing so well, and their people are panicking. But there is, and the Blackhawks, Jeff Carlin, I don't know. I don't know about the Blackhawks. They're having their troubles, too. But there is one team in Chicago that has gone from last in the league to first in the league. A team that just is an amazing exhibition every week to watch, the Chicago Fire. And our guest, Guillermo Rivera, who writes the Chicago Fire Confidential blog, has been covering this team in depth for years. He's the go-to guy. If you want to read him, you can find him there or online. And Guillermo, how are the Fire doing?
Man, it's interesting. I finally have something positive to talk about after all these years. They're right at the top of the league, right? I mean, they're on a break right now because it's a Gold Cup. But they're coming back, come back July 22nd. They get back into a couple of road games. But they've got a challenging schedule in the second half. Toronto FC, I think, is the big game coming in to Toyota Park August 19th. And that's going to answer a lot of questions for some people about just how good they are.
That's the Toronto Football Club in Toronto, starred by Michael Bradley, the son of the former coach of the Fire, Bob Bradley, years ago. Guillermo, this team is so good now, taking the whole league by storm. Why has it taken the sporting news media to even start to get it? I heard that a few were out of training the other day, you know, local TV stations, sports stations. I wrote a column a couple weeks ago saying we're waiting for the media to get it. What's going on? Do you think they're jumping on the bandwagon now?
Well, it's wins. They're obviously jumping on the bandwagon because of the winning. The Fire really haven't given them much reason to come out there and cover on a consistent basis over the last 7, 8, 9 years. It's been a long haul since they were competitive for anything other than a minor playoff spot, which they did in 2012. But for the better part of the last 7, 8 years, they just haven't been very good. So, in soccer in Chicago and soccer and across the country is growing, but the Fire have kind of dampened all of that enthusiasm by virtue of what they've done in the field over the last 7 years.
It you mean they suck?
People reason to come out. Yeah, they've sucked.
They've basically sucked. And there have been a few of us going to games, me like the fanboy that I am in terms of the Fire. I mean, I would mock myself if anyone wrote politics the way I write about the Fire. But I'm a fan, okay? I love the game. And they were bad. They were so bad at one point that I really didn't care if all of them were drunk on the field, you know? It was that bad. Well, it looked like it.
Well, the team that was on the field a couple of years ago was essentially all gone. Matt Polster and David Akama are really the only leftovers from the Frank Yallop era. It's been a complete overhaul since then. Sort of throughout last year as a rebuilding process with Rodriguez and Panovich, and they went out and spent money this year. And that's probably the biggest difference why they are better than they have been in the last better part of the last decade. And they've had some push along from MLS, and MLS, it's very important for them to have the Chicago market vital and interesting. And you see the All-Star game back here, and you see the resurgence of the Fire. Very good, some would say coincidental timing, but the Fire is a legitimate threat this year.
And speaking of that money being spent, do we owe all to Bastian Schweinsteiger for his resurgence of this team, or is there more to it than that from an outsider's
look? No, Schweinsteiger is a big part of it, and I think Dax Bacardi was the pivotal acquisition. I think he came in and changed the mindset of the team, the locker room. He pointed out, just from a player on the outside looking in, that there was a sort of a losing attitude, that the losing was expected, and they just kind of festered into something that continued, kind of a snowballing effect. And I think McCarty, one of the league's premier defensive players, who doesn't get a whole lot of credit as a defensive midfielder, really helped shape and turn around the thought process of the entire team. And you bring in Schweinsteiger, you add him to McCarty, and of course Nemanja Nikolic, who is on a ridiculous goal scoring pace. I mean, those three guys have helped David Akam improve his game to where he's no longer the go-to guy. He doesn't have to do it all himself. It's been a combination of those three, basically Schweinsteiger, Nikolic, and McCarty, who have really engineered the turnaround.
There was one section, one passage of play in a recent game. The Fire put 18 passes together consecutively, ending with a cross into the box, which is a pass into the box on the ground, and Akam looking at it, letting it pass him, and then backheeling it into the goal without even looking. And I thought, Firelona. It was like watching Barcelona. I couldn't believe it. I passed out. When I woke up, I said, please give me a cigarette and a drink. Where am I?
I just
can't believe that kind of play.
They play an attractive style of soccer, particularly at home, where they're unbeaten this year. And I think the ability of McCarty and Schweinsteiger to control the game in midfield helps facilitate that game. And you mentioned Barcelona. They've played a lot of games this year where they have, as opposed to last year, they couldn't control the ball. And this year, they've got the majority of possession. They play an attractive style. They're able to hit you on the counter if they sit back. They've got, I think Panovic finally has some options to kind of deploy that, what he called a game that doesn't really have a set style, but they're able to change and
adaptable,
move
right?
People around. Yeah, adaptability is what he called it, and they have that now. They're able to beat opponents from several different areas. They're not a perfect team. They've got a couple of pieces they could fill in the summer window coming up here, but they're a dangerous team.
What is the difference in covering the game from just a few years ago? When I, as a fan, I could leave my house, and Jeff and I, we went to a game, right,
yeah,
with Christine and Betty. I think it took us like 15 minutes. We just left like,
sure,
you know, half hour before the game and got there. Now it takes a while because there are a lot of people coming. What's it like to cover the game?
Well,
I mean, are there more writers in the press box now?
The game coverage in the press box hasn't increased yet. I think as the season rolls on here in the second half and they get closer to a playoff run and they add a few more players, I think you'll see the press box and the media attendance start to fill in a little more. Right now, I think you see the same old guard who have been there for the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I know the truth.
It's more fun to write about. It's more fun to cover a team that's winning, that's enjoyable, than it is to cover a team that's got 5 or 6 wins every year. I mean, that's you go in the locker room and have to talk to whoever the captain might be or the players, and everybody's down, nobody's happy. It's easier. It's more enjoyable all the way around for everyone. You've got a winning team.
Instead of staring into the 1,000-yard stare eyes of Jeff Larenowicz, you get to be perpetually angry-faced Dax McCarty. If people want to follow you, where do they go online?
They can follow me on Twitter at FireConf, Fire, C-O-N-F, Fire Confidential. That's ChicagoNow.com/fire, and a contributor over to, I'm also contributing Flyer content at The Athletic Chicago, theathletic.com.
Tell me more about that. That's a pretty good, you've had some really nice pieces there. That's, I guess, a growing sports website. We should take notice.
Yeah, they've covered sports across the nation, and they've got an Athletic Chicago site that covers the Bears, the Cubs, the Blackhawks, the Bulls, all of the big Chicago teams, and they cover them with a little bit of a different eye than you would see typically in your mainstream media. They've got a lot of content for all the major teams, and now that the Fire are competitive and they're interesting and people want Fire content, I think you'll start to see more coming up there now.
Just the idea to see you on in the same group with my friend Dan Pompey is awesome. And again, Fire Confidential, you can just Google it or find Guillermo Rivera at Fire CONF, and you'll be able to read his stuff. thanks a lot for being with us today, Guillermo. Appreciate it. See you at the next game, man.
I'll be there.
All right, buddy. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. John Cass, Jeff Carlin, Guillermo Rivera, our special guest, Will Lee. Thanks again for being with us on the Chicago Way. And I'll remind you of one thing. The rabbit thing, it was beyond my control. Did you ever see Dangerous Liaison? It was beyond my control. That's all I have to say.